Praise God. Well, it's good to be home. Still trying to figure out what time zone we're in, but praise the Lord. It was amazing on, when did I fly home? Thursday, I left, I got up at, actually Wednesday night, I went to the airport at 10 p.m., but my, 11 p.m., but my flight flew out at 2:20 a.m. Thursday morning. That's, I think, the 25th. And I flew from Cebu, Philippines to Korea, Seoul, and I ended up being a long layover, like 9 hours. And then I flew to Frisco and then San Francisco to here. But I got here on the same day, like at 5 p.m. on the 25th, but there was 34 hours somewhere in that just over half of a day time period. So, a lot of times the last couple of days, you know, you're kind of up at 2 a.m. and it's like, okay, let's go. Oh, you know, the body's still going through a little bit of jet lag, but it was absolutely amazing trip, and I'm going to show a video here in just a bit. I want to share a little bit first here, because it just, what God did was phenomenal, and man, I'm being corrected. In morning prayer in my office, actually, before I came in, I always get some of the team to lay hands on me and pray for me before I minister, and God's messing with my mind a little bit. How many of you know that it's good when God messes with your mind? Because if we live with our own understanding, we actually limit God and put him in the box of our understanding. And when we put him in the box of our understanding, that's a real big problem for you. Not for God. God's still awesome. He's totally who he is. You won't change him by your understanding. But your understanding will change him in your life. And if we live with that understanding of our own understanding, then what we do is we've boxed God into who we think he is. Our reasonable understanding puts him in a box, which limits his ability in your life to transform your mind. And we just need to have a whole transformed mind. I do no longer want the mind of a man. I want the mind of Christ, amen? And it's just, you know, sometimes you can look at the world, you can, you know, look at the stuff that's happening and get all freaked out, you know? I don't know if some of you have watched the news, but I was just actually in a region that was actually very dangerous. And I was in the Philippines and ended up ministering on Mindanao Island. And I checked it out I bought the tickets first, and then I checked it out in Canada, America, UK, Australia. On Canada's website, it's very clear. It says, do not travel to Mindanao Island, period. We can't help you. We don't have people there. We don't have an embassy there. A couple Canadians were beheaded last November. And so it's a big ISIS base on the island. And people say, oh yeah, but that's a few hours away from Davao where you are. I'm thinking, yeah, but it's 2 hours. I mean, how long does it take to drive a vehicle? 2 hours. Takes 2 hours. But you know, God was so in it. And it was amazing when, after I ministered there, and David, anybody know David Michael? David and Krista Michaels, they're here. We actually mentor them and have for years. He's a very young prophet, very prophetic gift and whatnot. They actually live in Kelowna. But he actually opened the door for me to come, which is really, really cool. Because it had been prophesied for years that I would go to the Philippines. Like 15 years it's been prophesied, and I've never been. It's never worked out. And this time it did. So anyways, we're ministering, and they got these big posters with my picture on it. And for some reason, I don't seem to fit the appearance of the average Filipino. It's like you stand out a little bit more with the Filipinos. One, they're short. I shouldn't say that. They're not the tallest of people. Some are tall. That sounded bad. They're not short. Some are tall. But anyways, they said that I was taller than they were, and I had different hair and stuff like that. So I'm driving around Davao, which is a fairly safe city of any of the cities on that island. That's the safest, because the president's, that's his home city. And he used to be the mayor, and now he's the president. So I think it's his sister's the mayor, and they sort of just vote against each other. Not against, but I think they can serve a term, and then the brother serves the term, and then the sister or daughter, I'm not sure if it's a daughter or sister. And so that seems to be the only political party that runs there. But so he's kept Davao quite safe. But even still, there's issues and problems. And the day that we left, Tuesday, we flew out of Davao, the whole island went into martial law. And you don't hear a lot about it on the news, but if you do watch Fox, you'll see it. I watched a little last night, and there was a conflict between the Islamic terrorist group, ISIS, and one of the main ISIS guys is there living on that island. And I thought, hey, I could get a hotel right beside him, but decided that wouldn't probably be wise. Be praying through the wall, we have power and authority. Anyways, they actually went into martial law. There was two military and a policeman killed with a clash with the ISIS group a couple hours away from Davao, and the government went immediately into martial law. So the military has the rule. They actually started shutting down everything, closing it off, and it was the day we left. We left, we get to Cebu, and I get an email from one of the missionaries there saying, it is amazing you guys left that when you did, because this is what's happened. We're like, whoa. So I went on the Filipino news station, and sure enough, yeah. And now I have a report that there's a couple missionaries had been taken captive, and they were beheaded that on Tuesday afternoon, just a couple hours away from us. Now, last night on Fox News, it said, I think it was 49 people killed, and a priest has been captured, and there's dozens that are missing, that are missionary Christians, that they don't know where they are. Some of the Muslim families were actually protecting the missionary, Christian missionaries. So they were protecting them because they felt what's going on is absolutely not right. You should not, no one should be murdered, but you shouldn't be murdered because of your religion. And right now we all know that, ISIS is against Christianity. It's against any religion that is against itself. So, and it's a very serious thing. So I just thank the Lord for your prayers. I know we had a whole prayer team praying, but we had an amazing time on Davao and that phenomenal ministry. I'm going to show a video here in just a few moments, and it's a long video, and I put it all together yesterday in my professional videography skills, which is zero. And just because a lot of people want to see and know what we do as a ministry, what you and I do together around this world. Because I really believe the local church is not about just here. It can't just be about itself. If it's just about itself, then we've missed the whole purpose of what a local church does. When it becomes integrated with itself, it wants to build its own walls, and it wants to be as big or the structure that it wants to be, but it's not doing the Great Commission. And we're called to do the Great Commission, to go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. That's the call of every believer. And so some of us go to the front lines. Some of us stay here, support what God's doing in the ministry. There's not anyone that's more important than the other. Just because I happen to be on the trip ministering doesn't mean I'm more important than any one of you that helps support. Because the last Sunday I was here, we raised an offering. We got to bless and pour and sow in to local churches and local ministries in the Philippines. It was absolutely powerful. They were so blessed and whatnot. So let's go ahead and let's get ready to show this this video. And and I'll talk a little bit afterwards about it. Here we are in the Philippines. I'm on my way from going to San Marino or something for Crusades tonight. It'll be exciting. Crusades tonight, baptisms tomorrow. But I just wanted to show you, they don't have bathrooms over here. They're called comfort rooms. That's something new for me. I'd never heard of that. So here we are, the comfort room. Let me just get there. Oh, I can't even turn this thing around. Okay, yes I can. Hang on. Here we go. Comfort rooms. I won't bother showing you the bathroom because there's no doors. But hey, good to be in the Philippines, that's for sure. Nice, hot, and humid. Bless you guys. See ya.
I wanna find you, girl.
What's the name of it?
Tambolong.
Tambolong?
What's that?
Tambolong.
Philippines.
San Romeo, Cebu, Philippines.
Yeah. They're getting ready for the crusade tonight. But I just want to show you a little bit of my supper. It's going to be, this is my buddy. And his name's Piggy. Oh, that's bad, isn't it? That's probably not good if there's some cartoon. I don't even know if there's some cartoon named Piggy. But anyways, going to be an amazing meal. Looking forward to it.
Okay.
With fish.
Three years.
It's going to be absolutely awesome. Anyways, going to have a crusade tonight, so we're looking forward to amazing things happening with salvations and healings and miracle signs and wonders. They have never had a crusade, Christian crusade, at all, outdoors, anywhere in this certain town and village that we're in, right in the north tip of Cebu Island, or up in the north of Cebu Island, and it's going to be absolutely powerful. Looking forward to it. Tonight and actually in a few more hours, and then tomorrow we head off back towards Cebu City. We're going to be ministering at I think it's a Jesus Reigns possibly conference there tomorrow afternoon, and then on Sunday I'm flying off to Korea and they're going to be ministering there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, flying back to Cebu, Philippines. And then going to be ministering Friday right through to the following week till the 24th of May, and then we fly back to Canada on May 25th. So it's going to be absolutely awesome. Anyways, bless you guys. We're just going to have a little munchie of piggy. See you. Bye. actually at one thing in Cebu, just ministered the afternoon main session and did at 1 o'clock, and then did a another ministry at 3 o'clock, the prophetic, and now getting ready. I'm going to minister here the 7 o'clock service. I'm a little tired. Just flew in from Korea, doing the conferences there. Didn't get to bed till about 3:30 this morning. Got up at 6:30 and just been in God, and this conference is amazing. There's 1,000 young people here. I'm so honored to be a part of one thing, Cebu, with IHOP. Just walk in, it'll probably lose me, and just totally blessed and honored. So he says, well, I'll end it. And then he couldn't end it. And it ended up just going. It just kept going. And just the amazing things that God, absolutely amazing. So the hungry young people, it's revival time, that's for sure. Anyways, I got to run. Bless you all. And just be in prayer for us here. I get back to Canada on the late night of the 26th. And yeah, just absolutely amazing. I just watched a bride running away. That's crazy. That is literally a bride in a bridal gown just running down the hallway. So, wow, what is that? The bride of Christ, come. Anyways, love you all. Bless you. Take care. See you. Bye.
Prayer and a group of people that are hungry like this. Thank you.
And no, I didn't do all the video. I was getting a little seasick there. You know, the motion of the video. I don't know if anyone was feeling it, but I tell you what, I got a little in the anointing there watching that thing, because when you're there and you're in it, just the hunger of the people, mind-boggling hunger, and so much youth. You know, it's so interesting. You know, it's an age group that sometimes isn't the easiest to reach here in our nations, but over there, it is the greatest movement is young people right now. And they've already, many of them have asked, when can I come back? When can I come back? A few of them, there's a little church building that in the trees, and that pastor has built the church by himself with his congregation. And as they were leasing or renting the land, as soon as they built the building, then the renter said, okay, no more rent. And they had to abandon the building. I want to buy it. So they want to actually come under the covering of Windward Ministries completely. I said, we just met each other. Let's pray about it. You guys pray about it. I've had a half a dozen Philippine offers that want to be a part of this ministry. They've searched us all online. They've Googled us. Some of them have been watching our Facebook Live for quite a while, you know, already, and really have a passion to be a part of this ministry. So there's probably a whole Filipino connection opening up, probably why it was prophesied to us 15 years ago many times that there'd be a connection with us in the Philippines. So just be in prayer as we pray, because there's so much happening with Colombia, with South Central and South America. Pastor Pablo and Sophie were building they want to put together a whole Windward Colombia, an actual society down there, and all of their missionaries and pastors being a part. It's literally growing and expanding rapidly. You know, we look at our home base, the center here, Windward. We're actually the center hub of everything this ministry does. So you guys are the center hub of the whole ministry. And it's literally, we're not asking. We're just hungry for God. And I have a heart that wants to do everything He wants us to do. I feel like the Lord is saying, but I've given you favor to do what you want to do because He trusts us. When you work and when you live and operate in an understanding of sonship, and you have an understanding of we're not actually there to just serve Him. We're there to fulfill the dreams because our dreams are His dreams, because we have a renewed mind in Christ. And if our mind is truly transformed, when we, like the scriptures say, you know, tell the mountain move and it'll move. And when I interpret that and look and study that, basically when you have the mind of Christ, you have the mind of God in you, He wants the mountain moved, you're speaking His will be done, and happens. It just is done. It's the same with miracles, signs, and wonders. I mean, in that crusade, that town is small. And I don't know, eventually there's 300-400 people there, I don't know. But over 120, the YWAM guy and IHOP guy that was with us as well, he counted 150, because a lot of people raised their hands and maybe were sitting around by the tent, but they still prayed the sinner's prayer. I say 120, I'd love to be an evangelist where we had 300 because there's only 80, but you know, evangelists tend to exaggerate that a little bit. I try to be a little more accurate with the numbers, and it was probably 150, but I'm saying 120. But what do I say? I mean, the signs and wonders, the miraculous. There was a young girl, you saw a picture of my cell phone by this girl when we're praying for her, and it had my wife Jessica and myself in it. That young girl was just when the video was going and they were doing the resurrection, the Jesus Christ and resurrection on the platform. She also was one of the main worship leaders. And she ended up collapsing, and she completely collapsed on the platform, and they drug her off, and now we're listening to the pastors over her. You know, we command life back into her body. She actually apparently had died, like gone or completely passed out, to where they thought she was dead, and we're up praying and laying hands, and you know, she coughs and comes back and comes to, and literally 5 minutes later she's on the platform jumping and dancing and singing and leading worship. And we found out that she has a heart issue, and she's just a teenager, and so she's not going to let it slow her down. And I said, Lord, because you know my daughter Jessica has a bit of a heart thing going on too. And no, it's not about boys; it's just a heart thing. Anyways, And so I said, Lord, because I want to see Jessica completely healed and restored as well. And I'm like, Lord, if that girl's 18, that'll be my sign to pray for both of them and watch them both get healed. So after the meeting, we're blessing everybody and the worship team, what they wanted to receive impartation. So we're praying for them. And I said to the girl, I said, you have a heart issue. She says, yes. And I said, would you be 18 years old? And she went, yes. And so I put my phone up, and I had told a couple of the leaders that if she's 18, I know the Lord's going to heal both of them. So I put my phone picture up on her, and that's the girl that I was hugging at the end there, and prophesied and prayed over her, and just I really believe God was doing something amazing and whatnot. So I preached 20 times in 9 days, but that included my travel, 5 hours to Korea, 5 hours back, 2 hours to Davao, hour to Davao, hour back, included all my flight time, and that's a pretty hectic schedule. But I'll tell you something, when the Lord is on you and you know that you're being empowered by His Spirit, I will guarantee you He gives you the strength. And you might crash a little when you get home. You don't get, okay, let's take a break here and get recharged. But God, I want to say God is moving across this land. You know what? I'm being corrected again. And it's just all started this morning in prayer. My whole mindset's being, something's changing again. I don't even know it. And I want to say God's moving across this land. Absolutely. He's actually on the land. We're the ones who are moving across the land. It's changing my mind, and I'm speaking it out publicly before I've had a time to pray and process it, but I'm just going to be bold. Of course, God's moving across this land, but He's actually already on the land. He's just looking for people to move with Him. You see, He's not moving from place to place. He's actually there. He's just looking for faith to open up what He's already there to do. He's looking for a people that have such passion and drive that they're going to step into Him and literally release Him by our faith to accomplish His will be done. You see, there's such a correlation between your and my call and His call in you and I. If we don't understand and start to grow more into the relationship that we actually have with Father, the relationship that we have with Holy Spirit, the relationship we have as sons and daughters. You see, when my dad was alive, I don't actually do everything to serve him. But I join in to what he's already doing. But many times I would do things knowing it's what he wanted done. And I would do it automatically without expecting recognition for it. And God is here. God is already here. He's there. He's everywhere. And we can say his Holy Spirit's blowing across. I believe his Holy Spirit has already been poured out on this lands. It's been poured out on this world. Is it blowing? It came like tongue of fire and a mighty rushing wind. Absolutely. And there's times we feel his presence and there's almost a movement of the air. I totally understand. But the reality is his Holy Spirit, I do not believe, and Father God doesn't come and go out of a place. I believe we need to have an understanding that he's already there. He's resided there. He's looking for people with faith to believe in the miraculous to actually draw who he is out into the place that we get surrounded so our spheres of influence are changing what is happening in the place there. But it's kind of like, you know, is God, when there's sin in the earth, is God not there? Well, there's sin in this house and God's here. You know, what do I mean? Well, they're sitting in this house. Well, every one of us probably has some form of a problem or an issue that we're dealing with. And whatever it is, whatever form it might be, but you know what? That doesn't mean that God's not there. We're two or more gathered in his name. He's there with us. Well, you know what? Every city I went into, there were more than two or three Christians. That means God's there, and he's looking for a people that have passion to believe to actually draw him into the present of what we see and what we're willing to do. And I really believe we need to have a greater understanding, you know, even when we cry out, you know, come Holy Spirit, come, you know, it's starting to mess with my mind a little bit. I understand what we're singing and I understand what we're praying, but the reality is he's already here. He's here. What we're saying and what we should be singing is, I open myself up to more of you, Holy Spirit. So come deeper into me, absolutely. But really, Holy Spirit's already here. The angels are already here. I'm in a vision right now, and they're already camped around this place. They don't leave this place. There, you know, I look at Revelation, it talks about a church appointed to every, an angel appointed to every church. I really believe that's true. And I believe there's a windward angel of some kind, whether you name him that or not, it doesn't matter. But he's here and he doesn't leave. And he doesn't leave when we have an up day and a bad day. He doesn't come and go. He's here, period. Just no different than what God has called you and me into. God doesn't leave our circumstances. He's always there. It's just our circumstances tend to overpower what we see God doing in it. And when we let our circumstances overpower what God is actually already doing there, then we lose the opportunity to actually step into the grace of what's going on. And so then we try to battle our circumstances with our own understanding. When we try to battle them with our own understanding, we no longer are stepping into the grace or carrying the grace of God to actually fight the circumstance. Because if you really think about it, every circumstance that we have is really not a war. It's not a battle. It's already been won. The victory is Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead and he declared on the throne room of triumph. He declared in Matthew 28 as well as the disciples that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now go into all the world. And so the reality is every circumstance we're in isn't a battle. There's a victory waiting to be found. We just got to find him. Big H. And what we tend to do is we carry the burden and we carry the load on us personally. It's typical for a human. We just carry the burdens. We carry the load. But it's exactly opposite to what Jesus said that happened at the cross. Jesus carried the burden so you could have joy. He became sorrow so you could have healing and fulfillment. He carried the pains and weights of the world so you could have freedom. And we're called into a level of freedom that we have to start to grab into our own heart and understand. No matter where you are, you're in ISIS territory, guess what? God's hand of protection will be on you when you're there in his will. His will is that you're there. His will was that I was there. That was his will. But if I hadn't have gone, I wouldn't have been in the fullness of his will. But the goodness and graciousness of God, that even if we said no to something that we know is his will, you're still an option for you to step in his will wherever you are. And I feel like the Lord is calling us into a greater level and understanding of an intimacy and a relationship, a friendship, but a friendship with honor. Because a lot of friendships don't carry honor. True friendships do. They're the ones that last a lifetime. How many of you have one of those true friends or a few of those true friends that you don't need to speak to them for 2 or 3, 5 years, and then but when you connect and have coffee, it's like you never left them? That's called true friendship. And in that friendship, I'll guarantee you, you'll see a culture of honor. The friends that come and go, the people that come and go, they really don't have the culture of honor in the relationship. So since they don't have the culture of honor in the relationship, they can't have true relationship. When we don't have the culture of honor in a marriage or in sons and daughters and in friendships, in churches, when we don't have that, then we don't have true relationship. When we don't have the culture of honor truly with God, then we don't have true relationship with him. Because if we don't have the culture of honor with God, if he speaks something, we probably won't hear it. Or if we do hear it, we're not going to believe it. We're going to continue to ask God, really, what is your will? Well, go there. Yeah, God, but truly, what is your will? Well, why don't you do that? Wouldn't you rather me do this? Come on, God. If you want the peace that passes understanding, you've heard me say this over and over again, then we have to give up every right of our own understanding. We can't have peace in our own understanding, is what the scripture's saying. In our own understanding, we'll be at war, we'll be at conflict, because in our own understanding, we're living in the nature before Christ. When we live in the nature before Christ, you live pre-cross, not post-cross. And when you live pre-cross, then you're going to see a suffering Jesus, and you're going to see a suffering life. If we live pre-cross, we will live what Isaiah declared Jesus Christ as the Redeemer, what he was. He was beaten, was poverty, was stricken. But when we live post-cross, then we live what Jesus Christ is now declared by John in Revelations. White as snow, eyes of fire, a voice of many waters. Victory. Victory. The enemy wants to see us defeated. God wants us to live in our identity. In our identity as sons and daughters means we already have the victory. We already have the victory. We're not actually at war for victory. That's why I struggle with people that are constantly fighting the demonic. I'm like, why would you fight the demonic? Oh, because of the power and the authority the demons have. What are you talking about? You just empowered them in your own life. I've watched many ministers fight Jezebel and get taken out and go through 2, 3, 4 marriages, all because of the spirit of Jezebel. You know what? No, that's not the spirit of Jezebel. You empowered Jezebel so much you became Jezebel. Ooh, did I just say that? You've empowered Jezebel in your life is what I meant to say. When we go after something, we empower it in our life. How many of you have just been so excited, and I'll talk to the men and maybe some of the ladies, you just dream about another car, or you want to upgrade, or you want to go there, or whatever, you know, and maybe you're not happy with the one that you just were so excited about 6 months ago, but you want another one now, you know, well, guess what, those thoughts actually drive you. They start to become an identity in your life. Because I'm one of those. I'll wake up in the middle of the night thinking about something. And thinking about, wow, I'm going to get this, or I'm going to do that, you know, and this and that. What you stay focused on will be what your mindset stays in. And I'm not saying don't have toys, don't go out and have fun. Absolutely. Praise God. Don't do it in debt, but go for it. Absolutely. But when we start to have that become our main focus, then that becomes our focus. What you focus on, if you focus on the demonic realm, I guarantee you it will be empowered in your focus. Your focus empowers it. You go after the enemy, I guarantee you the level you go after the enemy is going to be the level that enemy is empowered in your life. You make the devil big, it'll be a big devil. I make him small. He's like this useless little thing. Bruised heel, that's all I get at the worst. But you see, we so many times we get focused on what's happening in our life and what's in a reality. And sometimes we need to just go to another country and nation and realize they actually have more issues than we do, but for some reason they're a lot happier. Like they actually have a lot more poverty than we do, but they're actually on fire for God sometimes more. What is it with these nations that are being persecuted that are having revival? I mean, I hate to say it, but do we need a little persecution? Why don't we have revival when we're not being persecuted? So then when we're persecuted, it multiplies. We are being persecuted. In what way? In the mind. It's a me, me, me country. It's my rights, not yours. Politically correctness. How many of you know politically correctness is one of the greatest devaluing values of the United States and Canada and Europe? It doesn't matter if it's politically correct. What matters is what is God saying to do? I'm not talking about slander. I'm not talking about calling a race a certain name or something. That's terrible. But I'm talking about our right as sons and daughters to live in his kingdom no matter what happens around us. And you know what? Maybe things get heated up here in Canada. Things are heating up around this world. I mean, have you been listening to the news? Just don't live in the depression of the news and realize that there's a victory waiting to happen in every one of those situations. It's just looking for someone who believes they have the victory. I love this thought pattern. I got this from Bill Johnson. God never violates his word, but he's quite comfortable violating our understanding of his word. God never violates his word. He will never violate this, but I guarantee you, if you really want to understand this deeper, he'll violate your understanding. It doesn't matter what theology you carry. There's something here. Because if we don't have the ability to have our understanding violated, then we've built God into our understanding. I went to 4 years of seminary. I studied many, many extra courses and classes in theology. And I think it's all wonderful and it's great. But I will guarantee you, if you live your life focused on theology and have good theology doesn't get you going. Good theology gives you a foundation. Praise God, that's all. But if we live just on good theology, we've put God into our understanding of who he is. And he is so much bigger than any human mind can grasp or understand. The closer I get to him, the more I realize how little I actually know, and the hungrier I get. The heavens just, it's the way the kingdom is. The kingdom seems backwards to earth, but yet earth is backwards to the kingdom. You know, in the kingdom, you're hungry and you get fed, but that feeding makes you hungrier. So the more you feed, the more you hunger. In earth, you're hungry, you eat, and you're satisfied until 6 hours later, you want to eat again. But in the kingdom, the more you eat, the hungrier you get. You die to live. Lose for gain. Give to receive. It's just like, those are backwards concepts. So if our mind is focused on our human understanding, how do we give and receive? We want to receive. Most people that don't want to give want to receive more and expect more from not receiving, but that's opposite to kingdom mentality. The more you give, the more you receive. Why? Because then God sees he can actually give you more because you're faithful in giving. It's an amazing thing. Okay, turn to your right. Say, I know it's warm in here. Are you still awake? Turn to your left and say, you look better looking now than you did when you came in. Many Christians, many believers, they miss out on God encounters, encounters of God, encounters of his presence, encounters of his Holy Spirit because of good theology. And it's good theology. There's nothing wrong with theology. The only thing wrong with theology is if your focus is so much on theology that you miss the encounters, then why are you studying theology? The whole reason to study theology, which is theosology, man's study of the word, the reason you're studying the word is to actually have a deeper revelational encounter with him. But it seems like so many times the more theology a person studies, the more they go into wanting to know what he says, but they don't have the encounter of the truth of what he's saying. They have it all here, but it never made it to this part fully. I believe God wants us to take what we've learned and actually apply it in such a way that we start to move mountains. We start to see the miraculous happen, like in the Philippines, put my hand on this girl's neck and there's a bulge. Like, I mean, it must have been 4 inches in diameter, like a big goiter. Maybe it was a tumor. She called it a tumor, so I don't know. But anyways, put my hand in. As soon as my hand goes on it, I'm feeling this thing shrinking. And I didn't want to let go to look at it because I thought maybe it would stop. So I kept my hand on, and it was only about 2 seconds. And then I pulled my hand off, and the translator that was kind of a translator, Philippines, most of them speak English, but the remoter area that we did the crusade, they didn't as much. So she was translating for her. And he went, whoa, and he falls down. My translator went down in the spirit. And the girl, she didn't go down. She went, whoa, you know, she felt it. And whatnot, but you know, these are the things that God wants us to experience, not just hear about them. He wants the power of testimony to get our internal hunger juices going, to get hungry, to get your stomach in the spirit, a feeling like I'm ready to go down and have potluck right now. The testimonies are to create an aspect, not bragging, not boasting, but to create an atmosphere of hunger. Why did I show the people lying down? When we were ministering many, many times, I didn't even go near the people. I just went, and boom, this whole section goes down. Is that me? No, that's the power of God doing something. It's the Holy Spirit moving because their hunger is so big. They're hungry for an encounter and a revelation of his understanding. And we need to have that. So I really pray that our church is, that we come with such hunger that we're going to experience a revelation, no matter who's preaching, no matter who's doing worship, no matter who's here or who's not here, no matter what, that shouldn't dictate on what we're going to receive from God. If we let everybody else or the what we are sensing in this building, if we let what we're sensing in this building dictate our future advancement, it is not a good thing to be. You need to bring what you're sensing already and what you're expecting. You bring that level of expectation in here. And if we all bring the level of expectation in here, there's so much expectation that God's going to do something supernatural to make sure that our mind is outside of the box. Otherwise, we'll end up coming to church every single Sunday and we'll just come and we'll do the same thing. Guess what? I'm not going to come and do the same thing. That is not my call in life, and it's not any one of ours, yours. We are called to be extraordinary. We are called supernatural. You say, well, I'm only human. You are not just human. You are filled by the Spirit and your blood is flowing, the blood of Jesus Christ in you. That's what I believe. I believe your DNA was transformed as soon as you said, I do, to salvation in your life. Your faith has transformed who you are. And because of that faith, you are called to live in Him, in His presence, in His kingdom come, His will be done, at hand, all the time, 24/7, nighttime, daytime, early morning, on the plane, off the plane, in your car, out of your car, whatever. You're to live in Him all the time, 24/7. Because we have to come to an understanding. If not, we're going to live a normal Christian life. And I'd like to say, well, what's normal in the Christian life? What is a normal Christian life? There isn't a normal Christian life. Nowhere in Scripture do I find any guidelines whatsoever to say this is your normal lifestyle. The only normality that I can find in Scripture is literally the impossible is possible. That when your faith level increases, what's normal in His kingdom becomes your normality. So if you truly want to know what Christian is, which means Christ follower, then the normality of a Christ follower is to constantly be growing, constantly moving, constantly doing something greater in Him, which makes Him look more amazing than He is. But He is so amazing, you can't make Him look better. But what it does is it makes you become amazing on this earth. Well, I think that's a little prideful. You know what? When we saw that video, I had to struggle with the word, I prayed for them. I had to struggle with putting I up there. Because I figured someone's going to say, he thinks he did it. Well, you know what? If you really know God well, I did do it. I did it through Him. He did it through me. However you want to say that, look at it, that's what happens. He's the power. He's the authority. He wants to be released out of the cages and boxes that our minds have put Him in. He wants out. He's not in there. Just He's in there. He's caged in your own perspective. He's out there. He's so amazing, so big, so good that, I don't know, He could do whatever He wants to do. He could turn your car upside down right now, just poof, onto its roof. You know, if you wanted to. And you'd go out and say, oh my goodness, what happened? Whose Ford truck was that? Just flipped over. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. No. He can do whatever He wants to do. But the biggest thing He wants to do is see you and me come into a greater understanding of our identity and the destiny that we're called into. And you know what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've got a whole world here in the Fraser Valley. There's so many different groups and people groups right here in the valley. A lot of the people in Davao that came to Jesus were from India. They were from India. There's many Indians going. I think they said there's 30-some thousand over there right now in the city of Davao, which isn't that big, but 30-some thousand going to school in the Philippines. And so that church that there where the young people were lying out, they actually have three services. The church is too small. And it just keeps, they fill them all, you know, they just keeps filling up. And so many people, I mean, we can go and we can reach so many nations right here in the Fraser Valley. But the first nation to reach is yours. I don't mean Canada, I mean your nation, your promised land that you carry inside you. That's the first one to reach. You say, well, I've reached it. How far have we reached? Do you have milk flowing, like bread or milk and honey or whatever it is? How much of Jesus do we have in us? Well, I gave all my life to Him. Really? And all? Every bit? Then we live in the perfection of Him then. The reality is we need to be growing with more of Jesus in us every single day. More of the power and authority of His presence in us every day. What we had yesterday satisfied was great for yesterday because we advanced. But are we advancing today? We have to advance every day. Every day, we have to dig deep. We have to go so deep into our own hearts. And we sometimes need to come back to the understanding that we actually are created for His purposes and destinies on this earth. We're not created to have this car, this house, that house. That's part of the blessing. Praise God. Celebrate the favor. Go have fun. Enjoy. But make sure we take God with us. Wherever we go. The Lord just corrected me. You don't take me with you. I'm already there. You just have to decide to stay with me wherever you go. That's what we need, to have a heart where we stay with him everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we say. And I know we mess up in our speech, and sometimes I mess up when I'm driving. I get a little frustrated at some of the drivers, and it's hard. But I tell you what, in it, God's teaching us first how to be more like him. We shouldn't be really focused on teaching everybody else how to be like him. We should be more focused on teaching us how to be like him. Because in us, it just naturally starts to happen around us. And that's the power of testimony. Amen? Let's all stand. I want to close because I'm getting hungry. If you're not having fun, you need to... If you're not having fun, you need to back up and find out where you left Jesus. Seriously. If you're not having fun as a Christian, back up and get Jesus again. Because I'll tell you what, a Christian life is the most joyous life of any person on this earth. The only one that's having more fun is another Christian. That's it. It's the most joyous life we have. Can I have a little piano up here? We're going to just pray. And you know what? Don't worry about all this electronic posting stuff. You know, it's there's so much information out there, and everybody's got an opinion, and everybody feels they now have a voice, and so they share their opinion. Let's stay focused on God and his word. Let's not get too messed up in all the crazy theologies that float around out there. There's some stuff that I'm watching the people that I know and they're actually saying, and I get a hold of them and say, "Do you actually believe this?" "Yes." I'm like, "Wow. This is crazy, like in the wrong way." Like let's realize that God is a God the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to stand on his word, the foundation of his word. Once anyone starts to diminish Jesus or diminish his ability because he was pre-New Covenant, he is the New Covenant, for crying out loud. You can't diminish God, diminish Jesus, or diminish the Holy Spirit. And once we start to do that, you start to think yourself as better. And that's not what we're not called to be better than them. We're called to be with them and work with them and become like them. We were created in God's image for a purpose. So I want to encourage us, you know, because there's a lot of jealousy out there. And you know what happens in jealousy? First, when someone gets jealous about somebody else, a lot of times their own insecurity is to belittle the person they're jealous about. And so they start to become negative towards that person and yap towards them. We need to watch it, because even if the person had messed up, the place to yap about it is not publicly in any public forum. The place to yap about it is with your leadership and eldership of your local church or the people around you that are leading your life and help guiding and directing you. And then go and approach the person and talk with them and pray with them. This whole thing on the internet is ridiculous. This whole uproar about using the name Father, people are actually that illiterate when they study the Word of God that they actually take one scripture that says no one should be called Father other than God. If you take a look, anyone who studies the Word, if you stay camped out on that, you need a little more theology, because you need to actually study and realize that there's multiple words for the word Father. And that word Father is a word very specific, and it's used in that one instance, and it means the creator of all things. But when Paul talks about being a good father to your children and stuff, that's a whole different word in the original text. Okay? That means a comforter, an encourager, an exhorter, a teacher. Like really, Jesus would have been the father of the disciples. We use the word teacher. So it's just, let's get out of our mindset and realize, because people say, well, this is my spiritual son or my spiritual father. And then people get frustrated and say, call no one a father. The problem is you're an orphan and you don't know what a true father's like. You have a problem internally and you haven't studied the word of God. You've taken one scripture out of context and you don't even take the understanding of the meaning of that word. The reality is let's look at the word, dig into it before we make a judgment and pass it on the internet. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want us to be careful on what we say on the internet. We need to be so focused on truth, because truth sets us free. When we don't have truth, then we don't have freedom. And we're bound by lies. And then all of a sudden, the issues of somebody else starts to grow and become so big that we literally get bound by the lies of their issue. And really, it's a lie of their issue, because they don't need to be living the issue. They already have the freedom if they know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. But so many people will stay focused. Listen to me. Stay focused on their issues. What I'm trying to say is, let your issues go. They were taken at the cross. They were paid for, released, and buried at the foot of the cross. So let your issues go. Am I losing this mic? So we need to be very much aware that every issue we walk through in life, I'm not sure if I'm still on, but every issue that we walk through in life is really not an issue in God's eyes. Think of an issue right now, struggling financially. Is that an issue in God's eyes? Where does it say in the scripture, well, one of your biggest issues is financial? No, actually, one of your biggest, greatest blessings is financial. Well, I'm struggling with my salvation. Why? Why? Is it really an issue? No, it's not. Because we have the answer, and we have the Redeemer. What we've done is we've empowered the issue to start to take us out of the understanding of what God's called us into. Of course, we have mourning when someone passes from our life. Of course, that's not the issues I'm talking about. That's normal to grieve, to cry, to pray together, and also celebrate together. Because through every struggle, every temptation, the answer is already there. His name is God, and He's everywhere. In every temptation, His answer's there. His name is God, and He's everywhere. And He sent His Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit hasn't left. He's still here. It's interesting. Does the Holy Spirit really leave? If He did, then all Scripture would be saying He got sent again, sent again, sent again, sent again, and sent again. But nowhere do I see that in Scripture. He got sent once. Once to Christ, and then once to the people. He's still here. So Holy Spirit is with us right now. Every sorrow, every sickness, every sin, and every death, He's still here. Amen? Celebrate the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. Truth sets us free. That truth sets us free from bondage, sickness, sin, and death. It sets us free. Joy of the Lord is in the morning. Every day is His joy for today. Let's step in it. Let's enjoy it. Let's celebrate it. Let's eat together. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And that was a promise of the Holy Spirit coming. It's a celebration of Christ leaving the earth, of His resurrection, and then He left and said, wait for the promise of my Father. It's next Sunday. I really feel like God's going to do something next Sunday. I'm feeling it in my heart and feeling it in my bones. And I really believe Holy Spirit's going to say, do something. I feel like the Lord just said, Brian, you can't say it like that. Holy Spirit's already there. He's waiting for you and I, for us to do something with Him. So come hungry next time. Well, come hungry right now. We're going to go downstairs. I'm going to pray and bless the meal here. Come hungry next week as well for something special, supernatural to happen with Holy Spirit in you and Holy Spirit in us. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the hands that have prepared the meal downstairs. Thank You, and bless each person that has helped provide, and also each person, bless them who eats of the meal. Thank You, Father, that we're family. We get to go spend time together. Thank You for this beautiful weather, Lord, and just a beautiful weekend in Your presence, in Your glory. We just lift up the island of Mindanao and the missionaries and churches that are over there under attack right now. We pray, Father, You keep them safe and keep them strong. Lord, and all around the world, all these things that are happening, we pray, Father, that we will be a people that will literally impart and impact and empower kingdom of heaven now on this earth. That we will not live under the depression of the enemy. We'll live under the victory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everybody said, amen.